This is the Relish Podcast with Kate Stephenson.
Hi there, I'm Kate Stephenson. So this, of course, is the Relish Podcast, a celebration of all those things we love to eat, drink and do in Melbourne and across Victoria. In this episode, we'll kick off with the holiday of the moment, perched as we are on the eve of Easter and probably already starting to enjoy the tasty treats that accompany it. I'll chat to Philippa Grogan, founder and owner of the iconic Philippa's Bakery and Products, about how much her hot cross buns have or haven't changed in 30 years of baking and what else we can enjoy this week. Also, while we're talking fabulous baked goods, Rachel Little is one of those who had to pivot mid-pandemic. She went from fine dining to fabulous pies. I'll get the story behind Miss Emily Gourmet and find out how a qualified nutritionist ensures she's satisfied that her products are up to scratch health-wise. Then, in Eat, Drink, Do Melbourne, we'll find an interesting French-Japanese combination in Bansho in High Street, Armidale. Some new venues to drink at. South Melbourne Brumanity is opening a rooftop brewery bar, and Moondog finally opening Moondog Wild West over in Footscray. And finally, something to do, some Sunday lunches. Scrub Hill is launching theirs, starting with an autumn version with Alamitas. All that still to come on Relish, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
Easy Music 3MP plays all your favourite songs to help you relax. Songs you grew up with. Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. Songs you know. Songs you love. That's why I'll tell you. Relax with us. Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
So you think you've heard every COVID success story? Well, not quite, because I've got at least one other for you. My next guest was in the restaurant business. So come pandemic, she faced the other big P word, the need to pivot. That's how Miss Emily Gourmet was born. Rachel Little and her partners started a pie business from their northeast Victorian base, and they are now winning awards and selling seriously good pies across Victoria. She joins me now. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kate.
No worries. Thanks for chatting. Is that about it? Was COVID the starting point for Miss Emily Gourmet?
Yes, it was. So people, once the serious lockdown started, people just wanted good food at home, those that were used to going out for dinner, et cetera. So we started making gourmet meals and we delivered them around the northeast, and then we started making pies and cakes and lots of other different things, but the pies just resonated with people and just took off. So we're really fortunate. And then the border closed, which is really difficult, yes. Which really difficult for us up there because Wodonga's on one side and Albury's on the other, and we weren't allowed to deliver to people over there. So we opened a store across the river, which we were then allowed to deliver to so people could pick up food, because you were allowed to pick up food, and we delivered to their door as well. So, and then it just snowballed from there and took off to Beechworth, because there was a lot of tourism in Beechworth.
Yes, so yeah, there is a beautiful town.
And then unbeknownst to us, the majority of people that walked in our door at Beechworth were from Melbourne or Sydney. And so then it just snowballed and people said, well, where can we get your pies in Melbourne? And we said, well, logistically, we don't know how to get them there. So we opened in Paran Market, and the rest is history. Although now we're fortunate, we have found a delivery service, and now you can get not only our gourmet pies and meals, you can also get local wine from our area. So we've partnered and collaborated with a few wineries in the area. And so you can actually buy wine from the King Valley, Beechworth, Rutherglen areas, and we will deliver it with our pies to your door in Melbourne.
Rachel, stop it. Nobody's ever going to leave home again. All right, let's start back on the sort of the pies and those meals. You are actually a qualified nutritionist. So how important was it for you to know what was actually going into those, you know, and being confident in sort of the quality and the ingredients?
Super, super important. Only because I guess because I'm a health nut, we just made sure our chefs, like not being chefs ourselves, our chefs, we just said, how can we make this healthy? So we took the vegetable oil out of the handmade pastry and replaced it with butter. There is no sugar in our pies. There's no gravy mixes in our pies. When you eat one of our pies, like let's say beef, chicken, red wine jus, that's a 24-hour braised beef cheek. And then it's got these amazing herbs and spices, absolutely no sauces or fillers, just the jus and no sugars, no artificial sweeteners. And when you bite into our pie, it's a meal. So it's not like the old, and there's a place for everyone, don't get me wrong. Mm. There's a place for the gravy-based pie with a little bit of meat in it. Ours is a full-on piece of beef cheek with the red wine jus, but it's not really gravy and saucy. It's the full meal.
Right, and so it's interesting you say that, because the other thing I was going to say, obviously in the interests of research and accuracy, Rachel, I did have to try some, and the one thing that stuck out to me was they are chock full of whatever that filling is. Yeah, it's not like, you know, often there's generally a bit of a gap between the pastry top and where the filling starts. Yes. That was a full pie. Is that a deliberate decision for you? Because, you know, that impacts business and bottom lines and all that sort of thing, but absolutely. Was that a decision to you to go, well, it's a pie, there's no air in it?
That's right. It's a pie, but it's a gourmet pie. So because our other meals and everything we've done is gourmet, we had to go with the gourmet pie. And yes, like you say, the price point, the fillings are very expensive because they're chock full of meat. So the price is relative to that.
Oh yeah, but you get what you're paying for, yeah.
Exactly right, and that's what a lot of people say. They when they come in and buy a pie, that they're kind of, because it's in people's head. I think all Australians are born with, we don't pay much for pie. But once they eat this pie, they realise that that's a meal in itself, a very healthy meal in itself. And once they take a bite, the price goes out the window.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. Now you've got the classics, obviously. I saw, you know, some steak and onion and you had that beautiful beef cheek. You do have fun flavours too, yeah, like a Chinese barbecue pork belly and a gorgeous Moroccan goat. That was the fight in our household, was the best out of those two. Do you have a favourite?
Well, I do. I have what we call the good gut pie. So I made that with absolute health, gut health in mind. And I just thought, why not, you know, move the goalposts and do something different? So we made a good gut pie out of everything you can think of that is good for your gut, prebiotics and probiotics. So the sauerkraut, the kombucha as the probiotics, and the prebiotics, the asparagus, the goat's cheese, in a pistachio sauce. It's amazing. Oh. So we had a lot of fun with that. That doesn't suit everyone, but it certainly suits the health conscious people. Then we have lamb shank, garlic and rosemary, which is our favourite, which is our most popular pie. We have a Thai red curry duck. Now, a lot of people get put off by the duck. So our brilliant chef, Francis, made a Thai red curry chicken. So it's the same curry, one's duck, one's chicken.
And
same with the Moroccan goat. A lot of people love goat. It's the most popular meat on the planet, but just not in this country. So we made a Moroccan lamb exactly the same, but just with lamb instead of the goat. So we have so many varieties to choose from. And, of course, all our seafood pies coming up for Easter. So Good Friday, you can have a seafood pie instead of a bowl of prawns.
Yeah, the beautiful scallop and prawn and a gorgeous salmon and prawn. I did compare them to a Tasmanian-made one. There was a very big size difference, Rachel, and a very big difference in the amount of filling in those. Just finally, you do what you offer something called a naked pie too, don't you? What's that?
Yes. So that is, now we've got a lot of females. So typically Australian men of all demographics, like everyone eats a pie. But a lot of females just sort of, they've got that mentality of, oh, I don't want the pastry. So we thought, okay, you can have exactly what's in your husband's pie without the pie shell. And you can then take it home and have some veggies with it.
Yeah.
Or you can wrap it around some beautiful fettuccine or some gnocchi or even some mashed potato. Whatever you want to put with your pie filling, you can have without the pie shell. So that's the naked pie.
Beautiful. I was thinking exactly, Mash. Rachel Little, co-owner of Miss Amelie Gourmet, you did send me that rather large selection of your pies to taste. I can honestly say they were some of the best I've eaten. It was beautiful, flaky pastry and generous and tasty filling. So we better encourage people to head to missameliegourmet.com.au. They'll see the full range there. They can see the stockists. And you're right, they can also order their own selection to be delivered with some wine right here in Melbourne. Congratulations. It's such a great thing you've built there. Thank you so much for chatting to me today.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rachel. Don't go anywhere. Eat, Drink, Do Melbourne is up next on Relish, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
This is the Relish Podcast with Kate Stevenson.
Well, you know what happens on Boxing Day after we've stuffed ourselves silly for the second day in a row? We start looking forward to Easter and all the treats that it promises. I kind of figure that Easter is Christmas for my next guest, who's been making her iconic hot cross buns and Easter goodies here in Melbourne for 30 years now. Philippa Grogan is the owner and founder of Philippa's, makers of bread, pastries and beautiful provisions. She joins me now. Philippa, welcome.
Thank you, Kate.
Now, I know probably every major event and holiday is Christmas for you, but is Easter kind of, does it compare? Is it as busy at Easter as Christmas would be for you guys?
It's different. Easter is busy in the bakery and Christmas is in the production room. Yeah. But they're both very, very busy.
Yeah, okay. And so it's 30 years of making, among other things, superb hot cross buns for you guys. And I did, you know, in the interest of research, Philippa, I did partake in a couple of hot cross buns from you this week. They're quite phenomenal, yeah. Like we're talking some of the, you know, the biggest, plumpest fruit I think I've ever seen in a hot cross bun. Has much changed for you in terms of the recipe over all that time?
The recipe has not changed since day one. But what's fascinating is that every year when we make them, get a lot of feedback, oh, they're not the same as last year. And it does take us a little while to get into our rhythm making them.
Yeah.
And, of course, because they're so handmade, they're not made by any sort of machinery, they will vary from time to time. We find that the spices can slightly vary, not our choosing, but the quality of them or whatever. And the oranges actually as well, because we use orange skins and boil them and candy them ourselves. Mm. And from year to year, obviously, they're going to be different. But other than that, the recipe itself has changed one bit. It's still a perfectly round pert bun, not joined together like the other buns,
yes,
the more commercial buns. And we're kind of very proud of the fact they're a proper round bun. And with the special spice mix, which is unique to us that we developed 30 years ago, and with the organic fruit in it, and it's yeasted, a little bit of yeast, long, slow proving, lots of flavour, and, yeah, it's still incredibly popular.
I was going to say, like, a completely stupid question, Philippa, because why would you tell me? I was going to say, what is the secret to yours? But you might say then that I guess it is that spice recipe that you will take to the grave.
Actually, Kate, I think it's just looking at the quality of each of the ingredients and, you know, being quite mindful about what we're doing and why we're doing it. The spice combination, I think, is important because it is not a bitter spice. It's not overpowering from one of the spices. It's very nicely balanced. Mm. And what I love is that because we don't do them all year round, we do them at special times of the year, they're so evocative of that time of year. And when people try them and they might have had them in their childhood, it's, you know, like anything else, it just reminds you of happy times. It could be a smell and it could be a flavour, yeah. But that's sort of the distinctive nature of something like this, a seasonal product. I love that.
Yeah. Now, Philippa, when I was researching this and writing a couple of questions for you, I did go, it is actually 30 years this year, isn't it? Was it 1994 you opened the Arbordale store? Is that hard to believe?
It's very, very hard to believe. I joke that I started when I was 12 because I don't like
clearly
adding up the numbers.
Clearly. So how different was what you set out to do versus what you're doing now? Because, I mean, you know, did you ever imagine you and your products would be a household name? You know, I went to Coles on the weekend. I'm across the road at the Gorgeous Deli and there front and centre are beautiful Philippa's products. Is that like, Did you ever think about or could you have foreseen where you'd end up?
Not really. I wasn't that ambitious. I really was focused on making a beautiful product that had a distinctive flavour that people really loved. So no, I didn't. In the beginning, it was just really an unfolding and just responding to demand.
That's massive though. I mean, you've got your beautiful stores in Armidale and Brighton. I think there's still the outlet in Richmond. But how far and wide are your products sold now?
We do stock quite a range of our groceries in select supermarkets and breads in Woolworths. And then we do go all around Victoria. We are throughout Australia at various places, WA at the Boat Shed, for example. And we also at Christmas send product to Singapore.
And so when it comes to Easter, so and tell me as well, I do want to ask you to, because I just am always obsessed with hot cross buns, and I know most bakeries, and I know you definitely do other Easter products. What are the other stuff that you do that people should look out for? And do they have to get them at your stores, or are they those things that go out a bit wider at this time?
Yeah, they tend to go out wide as well. There are a number of stock of our range of biscuits. We make quite a few gingerbread or gingerbread style biscuits. Some of them are honey gingerbreads and the others are the treacle gingerbreads with beautiful, again, beautiful spices, iced with a lemony icing. And so there's a lovely bunny, which is lovely. You know, not everybody wants chocolate eggs all of the time. Yeah. And Easter egg shaped biscuits and honey bunnies. And then from our store, we make two very special cakes. One is a simnel cake, which is a very traditional English cake with marzipan baked into the middle and 11 marzipan balls on the top, which are the 11 disciples.
Yeah.
And the other one we make is, at this time of year, is a pain d'épices, which is a loaf made with 50% rye flour and no eggs or butter, but very good, sliced with cold butter on it, with just beautiful flavours and complements our cheese and pâtés and terrines really, really well.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I've tried the pain d'épices and I did have it with butter, but that's a great point. So you reckon try something like a beautiful, rich pâté or terrine as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So beautiful with blue cheese, but really nice with terrines and pâtés. I think those spices just marry so well, and because it's not rich and fatty, it goes well with pâtés. Even crumbling that loaf up and mixing the crumbs into pureed carrot or pumpkin or sweet potato just adds this sensational warm flavours of spices to it. Just, you know, and a tiny bit of cream just makes it sort of out of this world. Beautiful.
Philippa, you're killing us right now. I know that I'm dying. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else is getting starving. Hey, just quickly, I know that we've seen, like, so over 30 years, you will have certainly seen in your time bread and pastries and carbs cop it a fair bit over the years when people start getting obsessed with different fad diets and sort of, you know, different health stories. But it really does seem now in 2024, bakeries are still well and truly and perhaps more so at the heart of life and eating at Melbourne. Does that ring true to you? I mean, we're seeing new ones pop up. We're seeing, you know, companies like yours that are still trusted, still loved. Are we just like, it just really doesn't have an effect because at the end of the day, people love those products. And I guess, like you said, it takes a beautiful, you know, fresh white sourdough loaf or a hot cross bun takes us back to a time and a place, and we'll never give them up.
So it's been interesting. You know, it does come and go, this whole idea of gluten-free bread. But you know what? It's usually in a slightly older generation, and it's, when you think about it, who eats the most bread? It's children, not to be avoiding gluten. So it hasn't affected us a lot at all. I mean, through the course of the years, we have dabbled in making a gluten-free bread. We do find that some of our products happen to be gluten-free, so that does suit people. But, it hasn't had a big impact. I think that those that do gluten-free really well, though, I mean, I applaud them. There are some really good gluten-free products out there, but no, it hasn't had a big impact. Amazing. We're just there for the gluten lovers, really, Kate.
And there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. They're never going anywhere. Philippa Grogan, owner and founder of Philippa's. It is such an honour to speak with you. You are a legend of the Melbourne food scene. We'll encourage people to track down your hot cross buns and all those other beautiful goodies at your Armidale, Brighton and Richmond stores or at Stockers across the state. And to check out the full range at philippas.com.au. That's a double L, double P. Thank you so much for having a chat with me today.
It's a pleasure, Kate. Lovely to speak to you.
Thanks, Philippa. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, we're not done with pastry. We'll speak to the business that pivoted to pies during COVID and is now serving up some of the best pies I've tasted on Relish, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
For lovers of easy music, it all adds up. DAB Plus is the innovation to your favourite station, Easy Music 3MP. Where the music is nearer and clearer in stereo right across Melbourne. There is more 3MP to love by upgrading your radio to DAB+. Change the way you listen to 3MP. There is more to love on DAB+. Find out more at 3mp.com.au.
Okay, it's that time to share some news and ideas on what to eat, drink and do in Melbourne right now, starting with eating. And here's a novel one that opened at the end of last year in the southeast. You'll find Bansho in High Street, Armidale. It's a neighbourhood bistro that's melding French and Japanese flavours. The name itself is a Japanese Buddhist expression for all-encompassing. And I guess that's what they're doing with a la carte dining, separate sushi and sashimi menus, French wines and Japanese sake. With an exec chef who spent time at Ishizuka, Coco and Kisame, the food is sure to be fab. From Australian king prawns with red miso paste, framboise sauce, cream cheese and caviar to bluefin tuna tartare with daikon oroshi and wasabi ricotta. You can check out the full menu at banshodining.com. To drinking, and well, you can drink at two very new venues soon. First up, just open in South Melbourne, David Neitz's popular Brewmanity beer brand has opened Melbourne's first rooftop brewery bar, complete with three floors of drinking and dining, a beer hall, some great terraces, and of course, cracking city views. You can expect 34 taps of Brewmanity's own beers, but they'll also have classic cocktails, some spirits, and local independent wines. There'll be a food menu that's perfect to go with beer, and I reckon it's worth mentioning the fact that since it was created in 2015, Brewmanity has been dedicated to raising funds for Fight MND. We are talking nearly $1 million that they have donated so far. You can check out all the details of the new venue and plan your visit at brewmanity.com.au. And another quick heads up, I interviewed Moondog co-founder Josh Ulyans about their huge new Footscray venue, Moondog Wild West, back in episode one of Relish this year. Well, opening day is upon us. Come April, this is the biggest venue to date that Moondog will have, spanning three levels, squeezing in up to 800 patrons, and they're following through on that Wild West promise. There'll be a mechanical bull, a honky-tonk bar, and a rooftop cacti garden with great city views. You're going to find it at the old Franco Cozzo site on Hopkins Road in Footscray, opening 12th of April. Check out moondog.com.au/wildwest. And do start thinking about long Sunday lunches, which surely is what autumn and winter are all about. One to check out would be a new Sunday lunch series that's being launched by regional wedding and special occasions venue Scrub Hill. Located in the countryside between Ballarat and Daylesford, Hospo Pros Emily Donegan and Jente van Beek have restored a beautiful bluestone church and they've built a great glass marquee, and that's where the lunches are going to be held. First up for autumn on the 14th of April will be chef and author Alamitas. She's come up with a four-course menu that highlights her European spin on great autumnal dining. So for a hint, I know there's going to be some Cretan honey and cheese skillet pies with marjoram and orange and braised octopus with fava, capers and pickled shallots. Your ticket will include food, wines from winemaker Owen Latter and also some transport to and from the venue from Daylesford. For more details, you can head to the events page at scrub-hill.com. And that's it. That'll do you for this episode. Don't forget, I'd always love to hear from you about your favourite dishes and venues. Just email relish@3mp.com.au. But this has been the Relish Podcast, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
You've been listening to The Relish Podcast with Kate Stevenson.